Hello, I'm Mike Berlin. I'm an urban historian, and I'm interested in immigrant communities which have been in Britain for a long time. For the documentary, I've been visiting one of the longest established, the Somali community of Cardiff, the capital of Wales. This program is called Home Away From Home.
I like the weather. It rains most of the time. Lots of greenery. Yes, everywhere we're green and wonderful.
It's not often you'll find someone singing the praises of the Welsh weather, but when Hebo Mader first came to Cardiff, she loved it.
Yes, I did, which is very bizarre. Not a lot of people like it. But because we hardly saw, I hardly seen raining in Djibouti, and the rain season used to rain, but used to have floods everywhere, so it didn't rain really properly. But here it's like nice, light rain, very refreshing.
Hebo is one of the members of the Somali community of Cardiff. Her history is quite complicated, but typical.
I came in Cardiff in October 1991. I came to live in Wales because I got married to a Welshman, and then I came to join him.
How did you meet?
Oh, we met in Djibouti, in my country. I knew his father. I was related to his father. And he came on holiday to Djibouti, and I met him there. And he was 18 and I was 16.
And when you say he's a Welshman of Somali ancestry?
Or yes, his father is Somali and his mother is Welsh.
He's from Somalia or Somaliland?
Somaliland.
And you're from Somaliland as well?
I'm from Djibouti. Yeah, but we are classified as Somalians because we do speak Somali.
Somalis have been here since the late 19th century. They mostly started coming as seamen, sea merchants, and they come to the dock that's not too far away from here. They've basically been here ever since, had many children and grandchildren in the community. So this is the home away from home. It's sort of that second home.
I met Ahmed Hassan, a young Somali poet, at a day-long dramatic festival, Digabe. The festival took over the streets of Butte Town, especially Butte Street, a mile-long road that links the city centre with what were once the old docks, the historic home of the Somalis in Cardiff.
It's a project that me and four other boys started. And we took that project to the National Theatre of Wales, and the show starts on Butte Street and it finishes at the Welsh Assembly. It's about trying to get rid of the stereotypical views in the community, especially the Somali community. Somali and Somaliland at the moment, they talk about piracy, they talk about terrorist groups, to show that there's another side, that we've got a poetic background.
Digabe means poem in Somali.
Somalis are also known as the nation of poets. They use it to talk, to communicate. Is a part of their everyday life, so poetry is very important.
Hailing from the east where the bullets are the beast, many lives are lost and the AKs unleashed. How long will it last? What is there to gain? I'm not moving nowhere, I'm a link in the chain. Reaction.
You're Butte Town born and bred, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was born and bred in Butte Town.
And can you trace your background back to the merchant seaman, or are you?
My dad was a seaman, my uncles were seamen. Basically, I was born in Butte Town, but I still keep in touch with Somaliland. I go there once every 2 years or so. So I'm in contact with both.
Like Ahmed Hassan, most of the Butte Town Somali community traces roots back to the seafarers who settled here over 100 years ago from what was then British Somaliland, now an autonomous state to the north of modern Somalia. Since the Civil War of the early 1990s, new arrivals have turned Cardiff into a centre of a worldwide Somali diaspora.
You can mention the word Cardiff in Somaliland and they understand, and they got an image of it, you know, it goes that deep, you know.
I went to see Steve Kyra of the Somali Integration Society at a local Butte Town youth centre. Steve's father was a merchant seaman from Somaliland. Steve was raised in Butte Street, where his Welsh mother ran a boarding house for Somali seafarers.
Well, Butte Town is, you know, it grew up out of the core metropolis of Britain in the beginning of the century, when people were brought to Butte Town to work. Like, my father was a seaman, so obviously his contribution was to export the coal via the ships to different countries around the world. And they came from all corners of the world. Every nationality you could think of was in Butte Town, living in Butte Town.
Such as?
Somalis, Yemenis, Greeks, Arabs, Norwegian, Polish, you know, literally everybody.
But you can
The Somali community was but one of a myriad of nations that settled in Butte Town. The Digabe Festival celebrated this with an impromptu Arabic lesson at the Yemeni community center attached to the mosque. There I met Shamira Shaddad, who recalls a wonderfully inclusive childhood in Butte Town.
As a child growing up in Butte Town, I had the opportunity to live in a multicultural society where I had opportunities to go to Sunday school on Sunday, go to mosque on Fridays. We used to go with the Caribbean community to Clap Hand Church on Thursdays.
Okay.
Because we were led by our stomachs, you know, and the first question you'd ask your friends is, what's your mum cooking? You know, and,
Ali Yassin, who now works for Cardiff City Council. Some of the richest memories of his childhood are of flavours.
You went on what the best offer was on the table, whether it was, I don't know, fried bananas from my Afro-Caribbean friends. Often, though, with the Somalis, you had a curry, and the Somali culture at the time is probably still the same today, you know, that you couldn't leave a house without being completely full, that you almost you couldn't walk, you know, but they really did feed you, and that was something that often attracted you to the Somali house.
If I did walk down the street 30 years ago when I was a child, and we used to play over onto the old building sites and the variety of coffee shops and cafes and small Arabic schools in the back of cafes, that was, to me, that was where I belonged. It's part of my history, and I loved it. You know, there used to be a lady which, you know, I'm going to mention it because she is amazing. Her name was Lisa. She was a prostitute, but she was an African prostitute. And she always told us she was an African queen. And we didn't believe her. But it was only when she had a funeral and they came over from Africa, and she was actually the daughter of a king from Africa, and it was amazing. But when she was alive, you know, she looked after us, she looked out for us. If she saw us in a particular area, she'd send us home, like, we don't belong here. So even right down to the prostitutes on the street, they would look after the younger generation. Today, you won't have none of that. There's certain spots within Butte Town which are quite dangerous for young people.
We had a couple of cafes down the docks in Butte Town called Somali Cafes, and basically a lot of the old seamen used to go there, and I remember my granddad used to take me in there and give me a glass of warm milk, and he'd be talking away with his friends.
At the Red Sea House, a home and social centre for retired seafarers just off Butte Street, I went to see Jamar Omar Hershey, Ismail Adam Mure, and Muhammad Haji Abdul Rahman, three elders who recalled Saturday nights ashore in Cardiff.
You know, the Somalis here, they are characteristically, what they call is, they are very handsome, well-built, and well-clothed. They put all the best clothes, and they go to the dancing halls.
And dance to
Chais mostly.
Rock and roll.
So you like jazz.
Like
you like
jazz.
To go to dance halls on a Saturday night, dress in a nice suit, do slow dancing.
Yeah, I used to work on the tennis shoes tied up.
Yeah.
And it was cheap this time, you know.
Yeah. Did you have
15 guineas, 16 guineas, the 20 guineas. Nice suit. This time you don't get.
The majority of the Somali community in those days were single seamen, you know, lived in boarding houses, and there wasn't that many that actually got married and settled.
Cardiff is the most known city in the whole UK in Somaliland. Even in the Somali literature, there are so many poems who mentioned Cardiff when they were composing their poems. So we have a long history here in Cardiff than any other place in the UK. With the help of Jama, we'll try to translate that poem into English because
that
we got
be
it.
Fantastic.
Because this is one of the areas to show that we have been here for almost more than 100 years.
A man who used to be a priest when he was back home in Somalia. And today when he came to Wales, he takes a drink. He never practices what he used to preach before. Mm-hmm. When he came here, he changed it into a whiskey man.
Uh-huh.
A man who left his family, a wife and kid at
home.
That man left his wife and children.
And he forget.
And when he came here, he forgot them. He got a white girl, dance with her, play with her. He no more associates with his family there.
And that's a poem that's known in Somaliland.
In Somaliland, yeah.
These stories seem upbeat, but they hint at the harshness of life, the danger of seagoing, the loneliness of single men in a port city separated from families. It's easy to romanticize life in what the outside world used to call Tiger Bay. Steve Kyra, from the inside, has a very different perspective.
The reality was, 9 months of the year, you didn't see your parents, your father, My father was also died at sea and was buried at sea, so,
How old were you when that happened?
I was 9.
So that's tough.
Yes, very tough, yeah.
And so how did your dad die?
Well, he was told that he died in his sleep. And he was buried about 60 miles offshore. I think they could have brought him back. But
they could have brought him back?
I think so. If you're 60 miles offshore coming back in, and why didn't they keep him and bring him back to us? I don't know. The old seamen, we used to sit and talk to them, and they would say quite often, quite a few of them were actually thrown overboard. In effect, murder, But that's their stories as seamen, which they used to tell us when we were young.
Outside the haven of Bute Town, racism was a fact of life. In 1919, there were violent race riots in which several Somalis were killed. And despite service in the Merchant Navy in 2 world wars, the Somalis were treated as unwanted outsiders, there to be exploited and discriminated against. And this continued into the recent past.
I think there was only 3 clubs you could go in the town centre, the Top Rank and the Prince Albert pub. You weren't allowed in anywhere else. And it came to a head once when there was a place called Baker's Row and one of the Temptations that was singing in the club. And he was coming along and he met black people and they told him that they weren't allowed in and he refused to play. So you'd have black musicians playing in the town centre and black people weren't allowed to go in and watch him.
How long ago was that?
70s.
Yeah, 70s,
yeah.
After the Race Relations Act, after... It's just informal.
Yes, informal.
Colour bar.
It was pretty profound, yes. You knew you weren't allowed to go places,
When I was young, I remember Grangetown. Grangetown is like a quarter of a mile from Bute Town, and the racism was so unbelievable. Skinhead, and that was the era of skinheads and punks and all. So it was a very, very... We used to fight virtually every day. Like, I'll give you an example. My mother would send me to go and get meat. There was one halal meat shop in Grangetown, and I was the only one in the whole of Cardiff. For me to go there, that was like, that area used to be a skinhead area, and it was a mission. I used to like get prepared for either a fight or being jumped, or it was like normal. Racism was rife then. Very, very bad, yeah. But it's improved, it's improved a lot in that sense, but it hasn't in the, when it comes to work.
Structures,
institutions. Institutions are still the same, I believe.
Hussein Noor drives a cab because, like many Welsh Somalis, he finds it easier to be self-employed than to find a full-time job. And he's a graduate and trained engineer. So life in Bute Town was and is hard. And the cityscape reflects this. Bute Town surrounded, hemmed in, it feels, on 4 sides by derelict warehouses and access roads, and then the Cardiff Bay development. The housing's a mixture of 50s and 60s terraces and a tower block. Bute Street itself bisects the area. Along its side is a
very high brick wall, which cuts Butte Street off from some of the gated communities and luxury buy-to-let flats, which are part of the redevelopment. It's a landscape shaped by the decline of merchant shipping. The coal trade dried up in the mid-1960s, and by some of the slum clearance schemes of the same period, which destroyed the Victorian terraces, the cafes, the clubs, the pubs, which are now only recalled in heritage plaques in the pavement.
Well, there was two things. I mean, as well as a sea going trade, there was decisions made by the people who run the city that the houses were like damp. And one way was to knock all those houses down and build council housing properties, which I, in retrospect, I think was a poor decision. And we can see that if you look at places like London, and when you go to Notting Hill now and you see those grand houses, that's what we used to all live in, you know. But they knocked them down and then give us, you know, one bedroom and two bedroom, one room, front room, council houses, where we were used to living in these grand houses, and all families would live in there. So your auntie or your sisters would have their children and you'd all share that one home, you know.
So the area was redeveloped.
Yes.
And it's being redeveloped again.
There's no doubt there was a need to redevelop the Docklands area, you know, because it was all dilapidated and everything. But, you know, there was this belief that, you know, this public money would bring in private investment. And it did in some ways, but, you know, we've had the trickle-down effect where it hasn't trickled down, it's trickled sideways, and there's been no benefit to the local community. You know, we've just lost key grassland and Docklands land, which has been developed, and you've got these fancy buy-to-let flats for people who could afford them, but there's no real homes built, there's no clear strategy, there's been no employment opportunity created for local people, so we're more deprived now than we were before the redevelopment. We were like the 20th most deprived ward in the city, we now move to the most deprived ward in Wales.
Al Yassine sees the Cardiff Bay redevelopment somewhat differently.
People ask me, what do I think of Cardiff Bay? Do you know what I mean? I was born and brought up there. You know, what do you think of your area? I applaud it. I mean, when people say that, it's not for them. I think that's the... You often hear this, you know, people say, well, you know, they've built it and it's for the rich, or it's for these middle classes, or it's just not for us. I think that's a load of rubbish. You know, I've always thought that education is available to all. If people are ambitious and they have a business sense about them, this country offers everything to you, you know, and there is no excuse to anyone who comes into Britain and says that this country owes them something, because people have come here and I've watched people build lives here from nothing.
In the older days, people who are our age will probably be married and have a few kids by now, but in terms of me and my friends and most of the younger Somali generation nowadays, yeah, you tend to sort of think about your future a lot and what you want to do to make a difference as a person anyway. Because not everybody gets the opportunity to come to this country and pursue their dreams and do what they want. So you kind of have to make the most of the opportunity, because you know how lucky you are to be in a safe place, to have a chance to have an education, a job, live a normal life. So you tend to, yeah, make the most of it.
Naima Hussein, who arrived as part of the diaspora following the Civil War. She spoke no English when she arrived. Now she's reading psychology at university. She is part of a highly motivated new generation making their own way in their adopted land.
Finish my degree, to start with. Do my master's. Help people, I think in general, rather than Somalis only, but definitely have a successful career and a decent job. So, yeah.
I'd like to make it through my medical degree and become a doctor.
Aman Meder was born in Cardiff.
I'd like to, I don't know, just make sure that in life I was always stable wherever I was, just that sort of, like, stability. I'd like to do something to help in some way, if I could, because I'll be a doctor in a couple of years' time, isn't it? And here we're blessed with a free healthcare, whereas over there it's not free and it's not up to the standard that we have here. So it'd be good to sort of like try and give something back to my community. But Cardiff would always like remain a sort of big part of my life, because well, it's where I grew up.
This generation faces its own dilemmas, problems of drugs, gangs and unemployment.
The Somali elders are alarmed at what they see as a loss of traditional values and the troubled legacy of the experiences of civil war.
You know, there are, what he said is very important here. The thing is that because in their generation, they know what they came to this country, just to work and get money, get married, everything. Here in this generation, he said that the generations have changed because here they are, you know, what would you call it, still fighting between selves, knifing each other and all this. And so that, and there are so many generations who stand in the streets idly doing nothing. So this was not the Somali culture. The Somali culture in this country was go for work, otherwise stay peacefully where you are. But he said that this have changed. Today we got a young generation who kill themselves, group themselves, killing themselves.
Gangs.
And then some of them are elderly, you know, standing in the streets, doing nothing, which is very, very, very bad image for the Somali community.
Some people say to the truck, and some people say to the truck.
I think the younger you are, mm-hmm. and the more you kind of grow up here, the more of you're not following every single tradition that Somali people follow as such.
So what traditions do you decide not to follow, and what do you decide to follow? What stays and what gets left out?
I would not necessarily follow every Somali... Actually, I would not necessarily follow most of Somali traditional custom. Like, Somali, all the women mostly think ladies are meant to be at home rather than, like, outside most of the time. These kind of tradition I would not necessarily follow, but in terms of things that I need to follow by my religion, I would. Mm-hmm. I definitely follow things in terms of Islam, but not in terms of Somali tradition.
If we hold on to that culture, I think it will enrich the next generation to hold on to who they are. And that's the important thing, is allowing people to say, this is where my ancestries came from. However, this is my home.
Said Noor Ibrahim is someone else who arrived as a result of the Civil War. While embracing the culture of Wales, he is just as committed to maintaining his own Somali identity.
I'm all for integrating in a positive way, but losing your language, I think, is losing a limb, really.
I tell you, the kid, he lose the culture when he started school. And mostly he speak English. No, he speak Somali no more. He speak English. That's why he lose the culture.
I found that I spoke English a lot better than my friends because I spoke English at home, whereas a lot of them don't speak English at home. They just speak Somali. In fact, I think some of their parents can't speak English.
And how's your Somali?
It's all right. I can get by with my Somali, yeah.
You can get by?
Yeah.
That means it's not...
Yeah, it's okay. It's not as good as it should be.
My favourite Welsh song is Calon Lan, whatever, which basically means pure heart, Calon Lan. And it goes, Nid oin gofyn bywyd moethus. I'm not asking...
I've spoken to seamen whose English is limited, even after 40 years in Bute Town. But Al Yassin was so wedded to Wales that he felt he wanted to immerse himself in its language. He not only learned, but now teaches Welsh.
Calon lan yn llawn daioni, teg a chiwr na lili tlos, dim ond calon lan all gani, canu'r dydd a chanu'r nos. It's a song which talks about, I'm not asking for the world's riches, it's pearls or it's gold. All I'm asking for is an honest heart, and only an honest and pure heart can sing day and night. You know, I didn't know what I was. I was told that I was an Arab. I was told I was a Somali. I was told I was Welsh in Cardiff. You know, I was told I was British. This was the messages I was getting from the various different communities. You're one of us. And I guess that's why I ended up speaking Welsh, learning to speak Welsh, because Welsh for me was about brushing aside all those past influences and creating my own identity. I was born here. That made me Welsh.
Well, it's quite easy for me. There's no doubt that my heritage is Somali, but I've been born and bred and spent all my life in Wales, you know. So I even describe myself in a Welsh context, not in a British context, you know, because I see the English as being decidedly different.
To be honest with you, after watching the rugby, Wales and England, which I've since watched it 7 times, I do see myself as being Welsh. And I do see myself being from Somaliland. I do have the both identity, and I'm proud of it.
What struck me about all the people that I've met in and around Butte Street was how much they relish their multiple identities and communal history, and how strongly and thoughtfully they speak of their place in Cardiff, the city that they call home.
I definitely say it's my home. I live here, but when I go back to Somaliland, that's my background. So this is my home away from home.
Does this feel like home?
It does. Home, to me, home is where your loved ones are. Not, it's not a country or a place. So my children are here, my children were born here. We were born in Heath Hospital in Cardiff. And yes, for the moment, my home is here. I like the smell of the rain, the smell of the grass. Yes.
You like the green. You like the green of...
I do.
Yeah,
I
the
do.
Green, I green grass of home.
I lived in...
Sorry, folks.
Between Dod or Gefndir Somali, and erbyn hyn, Cymro dwi. I come from a Somali background, but now I'm a Welshman.
I'm Mike Berlin, and you've been listening to the documentary Home Away From Home, The Somalis of Butte Street, Cardiff. My thanks to all of them, and my producer, Julian May.